Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, The Communion of the Saints.
Happy All Saints Day. God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Well, it's All Saints Sunday, and today I'd like to look with you at one of the great themes of All Saints Sunday, which is the communion of the saints. Does that sound familiar? Where do we say the communion of the saints? The Apostles' Creed, right? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. So let's talk today about the communion of the saints. What is the communion of the saints? That we are all communion with one. We are all one as God's people in Jesus. Amen? He is the King. We are His kingdom. He is the head. We are His body. So intimately connected. We're all part of the same body. He's the head. We're the rest of the body. He is the Lord, through whom we were made, and we are His people, all united as one in Him and with Him. The communion of the saints. Isn't that great? And so we're all one, therefore. The communion of the saints is not only us on earth, but the saints who have departed in faith in Christ to the end of their lives and who are now in heaven. So you have the communion of the saints is those who are here and those who are there. Those who are alive on earth and those who are departed in faith to the Lord. Those who are on earth, those who are in heaven. Those who are the church militant, fighting the good fight of the faith, us. And the church triumphant in heaven, who are now resting from their labors. We're all one, united together in Jesus Christ. Isn't this great news?
Yes.
Especially since a lot of us are missing loved ones. Now, I'm missing my dad. He died, let's say, departed this world April 11th of this year. And I really miss him. I think about him all the time. Maybe you have a son, a daughter, a wife, a husband, a father, a mother that you're missing today. Let's talk about the great hope that we have in being one with our loved ones, even though they're not presently with us, that they're there and we're here, but we're all still ultimately together in Jesus, the communion of the saints. And how far away from us are they really? How close are they really to us? And when we get up to there where they are we going to just start over with them and say, who are you? Or are we going to say, I know you, and continue our relationship with them, just going straight forward and rejoicing to see them again and recognizing them? Let's talk about, therefore, today, the communion of the saints. And do they still know us now up there, and we them, even though they're there and we're here? So what does God teach us about this? What does Jesus want to tell us? Well, first let's take a look over here at John chapter 11, where Jesus teaches us about His heart towards us when we're missing the loved ones that have departed this world. If I'm sad for my dad, if you're sad for your loved ones who have departed in Christ and we're here with you, well, look at Mary and Martha when they were missing Lazarus. Remember, they had a brother, Lazarus? And when Jesus came, it says Martha and Mary ran to Jesus at different times, and Mary said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. You could have saved him. In other words, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And His whole heart was almost like in a storm at sea. And He says, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. And it says, Jesus wept, which means tears for him. He cried. So deeply troubled he was over their sorrow and their sadness missing their loved ones. So the first thing to know is Jesus teaches you here, if you're on All Saints Sunday missing your departed loved ones who have gone home to God in Christ, Jesus understands, and He cares very much about you. He cares about this sorrow. Is there any hope, though, of seeing your loved ones again? Well, what happened in the story? Okay? Jesus is comforting them in their sorrow, weeping with them, feeling sorrow and trouble over that, and says, "Where have you laid him?" Now, shortly before that, Martha had said, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And Jesus' answer to her is, "Your brother will rise again." That's hope. "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day," she says. Jesus says what? "I am the resurrection, Martha, and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Whoever lives and believes in me, that person shall never die." Do you believe this? "Yes, Lord," she says, "I believe that you're the Christ, he who is coming into the world." So how long does she have to wait to see her brother again? Is there a hope of a joyful reunion for Martha and Mary with their deceased brother, who was also a Christian? Well, they didn't have to wait long. Jesus raised her, raised him, went right over to the grave, and Lazarus come out, and they unbound him, and they saw his face again, wonderfully restored, and his body, and they embraced him. What do we see just a few verses later? How long does it take to see a wonderful reunion with them? Next chapter, a few verses, sentences later, John chapter 12, we see Jesus is going to dinner. He's at the house of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and they're all sitting at the table having a good time. Is there hope for you on this All Saints Sunday that you're going to get to see your departed loved one that you're missing in sorrow today and get to sit at the table again with Jesus and your loved ones? Well, they had him, and a few minutes later, they're already eating and enjoying each other, or a little time later. You have that hope too. Where is our hope found? It's in Jesus, who is the resurrection and life. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. I'm here to preach Jesus Christ to you today. He's the only hope of the world. He is the Lord, the world's one Savior. God so loved the world, friends, that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Think about that. That's immortality. Everlasting life. As we said in the confession earlier, by his redemption, by his blood, he's bought us to live forever with him. Where does he want to relocate us? You know, you ever have a relocation? That's kind of stressful, isn't it? You move to California, that's stressful. It will be really stressful today. Nobody's moving there. They're all moving away from California to Florida, right? But 1 Peter chapter 3, Christ died for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. So he came not only to save you from your sins, but to relocate you from being far away from God to coming right into his throne and living with him. So that's in heaven. Where do we go when we die? Do we just disappear? Go to soul sleep? No. The Bible says, as Paul says, "My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that's far better. And to be away from the body," 2 Corinthians 5, "is to be at home with the Lord." All right, say it with me. Home.
Home.
To be home with the Lord is where we go when we die, and it's to be with the Lord and with all those who are up there with him. Hebrews chapter 12, we come to Mount Zion, to innumerable angels in festal gathering, picture that, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Maybe your loved one you love, but didn't always get along with perfectly. Guess what? You will in heaven. Because that's the spirit of just men there, made perfect. All flaws removed. Up there you're going to get along great, so don't worry about that one. But you're going to get to see your loved one, therefore, again, above. Up where God is. So it's sort of like where ships going over the horizon here at Cape Canaveral. You disappear out of sight from the people on the land that remain behind, but you come to a new port. Jesus says in John 14, "In my Father's house up there are many rooms. And if it weren't so, why would I have told you that I could have prepared a place for you? And when I go, I'm going to come again and take you to me, where I am, that where I am, you may be also." So when we die, which we're going to all depart this world at some point, what's going to happen to you? You're going to be carried by the angels. You're going to go up to a different location. But it's the best place of all. It's to where God is. This is the communion of the saints and where the great hope of the Christian is. That when we depart this world in Christ, we go to the greatest place of all, God's home. And therefore, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, he says, so Christians, we weep when we lose a loved one, but not like other people, like unbelievers who don't have any hope. He says, because we believe that the Lord Jesus, he's gone into heaven and he's coming again on the clouds of heaven at the great trumpet. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then all of us who are alive, if we're still here when he comes, should be caught up to meet them in the clouds. And then he says, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Think about those words. We, collectively, all together, we shall always be with, that's a good word, fellowship, close to, with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words, he says. All right, so great hope of seeing your loved ones in Christ who have departed in Jesus. But will we recognize each other up there in heaven when we get there? You know, a lot of people think, oh, no, when I get there, it's sort of just like I start over again. It's like all memory of this world is wiped away. Is that true? When you get to heaven, are you going to remember this life? Are you going to remember your loved ones, your dad, your mom, your brothers, your sisters, your friends, each other? Well, let's take a look at whether we'll recognize each other. That's Luke 24. We got to go by scripture here. What does he say? We read when Jesus was raised from the dead. That very day, two disciples, were walking to a village named Emmaus. And Jesus comes up and starts walking with them as they're going along the way. But their eyes, it says, were kept from recognizing them. What does that teach you? Their eyes had to be restrained from seeing what was obvious, that it was Jesus. Why? Because he wanted to talk with them and unfold the scriptures to them and test their hearts. But after he unfolds the scriptures, then they make it to the village to which they were going. And they're sitting at table together. He breaks bread, blesses it, and all of a sudden, whoosh, he takes off the mask, the covering, and oh, it's the Lord! And he vanishes out of their sight. Wow, what a dinner, huh?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool? Just disappears. But it's the Lord! And they did what? Recognized Jesus. Are you going to recognize Jesus when you get up there? You will know him. Will you recognize, though, each other when you go to heaven? Let's take a look at another one here, Matthew 17. Do you like this verse? The Mount of Transfiguration. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and they went up to a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them. His face became like lightning, and his clothes dazzling white. So he showed them his glory. And behold, there appears to them Moses and Elijah talking with him, talking with Jesus. And Peter's like, whoa, it's Moses and Elijah. Let me make three booths so Jesus, Moses, and Elijah can stay a while. What does that teach you, though? Peter never knew Moses and Elijah. These guys lived a long time before him, 800, 1600 years earlier. Never met these guys. Did Peter, Cindy, calling on you, did Peter recognize Moses and Elijah though he never met them?
Yes.
Yes, he did. He knew. And if you can know someone you've never met, how much more those people whom you have met? You will, says the scripture, therefore, recognize each other in heaven. Isn't that marvelous news? It's not just a do-over, okay? It's not like starting over and wiping the slate clean like those old Etch-a-Sketch, okay? You still got your picture. You still got your memory. You're going to pick up where you left off. And let's see whether indeed, when we get to heaven, whether we'll remember this life and what happened here and our loved ones or not. Okay, so let's take a look at Matthew. The only way you can know this is by the scriptures, Matthew 25. Check it out. Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he'll sit on his glorious throne. Then before him will be gathered all the nations, and he'll separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. I'm sorry, not really the sheep and not really the goats, but in this illustration, okay? The goats at his right hand, the sheep at his right hand, but the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, O blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. Thirsty, and you gave me drink, a stranger, and you welcomed me, etc. Then the righteous will answer, Lord, when we see the hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink, what are they doing? Mark, what are they doing? When did we see thee this way? Mm-hmm. We're remembering, right? We're going through our records. We're coursing through our memory banks. We remember helping hungry people and feeding the thirsty and clothing the naked, but we don't remember seeing you, Lord. And then the king says, well, as you did it to the least of these my servants, you did it to me. But notice, what are they doing? Cecile, they are remembering. They're recalling their lives. Are you going to recall your life in heaven that you had here on earth? You're going to remember. These things will be able to be brought up. So you will have a memory, says the scripture. And guess what? Better than you have now. Anybody having trouble with their memories? Guess what? When we eat a lot of carbs and junk food or get older, we have brain fog. There will be no brain fog. It's going to be a clear, blue sky, sunshiny day, memory-wise, in heaven. For the righteous and the wicked, you'll remember everything very, very clearly, the weakness of the flesh being removed. Okay. But will we remember and still love one another up in heaven? Will do your loved ones right now who are in the communion of saints up above still love you? I know you love them, but do they love you? Well, for that, we've got to look at another scripture. You know, the only way we can know these things is by the Word. How are you going to know what's beyond in the great unseen places unless the book reveals it? Jesus teaches you here, actually, that your loved ones still love you. That hasn't ceased. Actually, it's better up in heaven. Because Luke 16, we hear about Lazarus and the rich man. Remember that story? Lazarus was the poor man, the rich man. He had all his goods on earth. Lazarus was poor. Jesus says the poor man, Lazarus, died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and said, Father Abraham, have mercy and send Lazarus to dip his finger in cool water and cool my tongue, for I'm in anguish in this flame. Zuleika, calling on all the ladies, big. Did the rich man remember Lazarus from his life? Yeah, he calls him by name. I see Lazarus, I remember him. Does he care for the people still on earth, though? Even though this guy's in Hades, he's judged. He says, I beg you, Father, Abraham, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have, present tense, 5 brothers, right? So that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. So where does Abraham point? Mm-hmm. Hey, they got the scriptures, they can read them. This is the place to get the information and the call to repent. He said, no, but if someone will go to them from the dead, they'll repent. And he said, if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced that someone should rise from the dead. Jesus is teaching here. But notice, wicked people in Hades, do they remember their loved ones still on earth? I have, present tense, 5 brothers, whom I love and still care for. Please warn them lest they also come where I am. If the wicked still remember and love and care for their loved ones on earth, being in Hades, how much more the righteous saints in heaven, where people of true love, still love you on earth, though you can't see them. Is that true? My dad, when he passed away earlier this year, and I was with him at his bedside for all those many days, words I ever got to hear from my dad really were, I love you. Isn't that cool? Because I was kept on saying, Dad, I love you, and I've given scriptures and this and that, and I said, I love you, Dad. And the last thing he said, he kind of mumbled it, you couldn't quite distinctly hear. I said, Dad, I love you. And he goes, what did you just hear?
I love you.
I love you too. You know? And that was my last word from my dad to me. And I thought, how great. But you know what? Today, on this All Saints Sunday, November 3rd, he's still saying the same from up there. Even though I can't hear it outwardly, I know it's true. Because if wicked people remember and love their loved ones, how much more the righteous who have departed in Christ, who are truly alive and truly people above. The Bible says about love, by the way, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. You know, the only thing we're going to need in heaven is love. Because faith Well, that's believing in things you can't see, but in heaven we'll see everything. You don't need faith anymore up there. Hope you won't need anymore when Jesus returns, because you're going to have everything you hope for. But love of those three abides forever. It's eternal. That's what the kingdom's all about. So your communion of the saints, your loved ones above are loving you still right now from where they are, though you can't see it. So how far away then really are they from us? That is, the Christians in heaven. Well, one sense, they're really far away, right? Geographically, heaven's a long way away from us. You know, if I have some relatives moved to California, God forbid, even though it's a nice state in some ways, that's a great distance and it's tough. But heaven is the highest place, far, far above the stars. That's where they are, where God is, up above us, so geographically so. But the mystery of today, All Saints Sunday, is that they're actually really, really very close. Very close. The communion of the saints, because you can't separate Jesus. Okay? We're all part of the same body. He's the head. We're his body. It's all one. They are close to us in heart and in spirit. And the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15, that Jesus is planning on very soon making everything one in him at the last day, and then just triumph. So the church in heaven is called the church what?
Triumphant.
The church, because they're triumphing, resting from their labors. What is the church on earth called? The church militant, because we're still fighting the good fight of faith. So the way to look at this, at least as I do, is they're like runners in a race who have completed their course, crossed the finish line, gotten the blue ribbon, and they are sitting now in the stands cheering us on, who are still running a good race down here on earth until we finish. As if it's a great coliseum, and they're cheering, saying, go, keep running, keep to Christ. You're running for the truth. These things are real. We see them with our eyes. Run the good course of the faith, they would cry. And we're all friends on the same team. And we're soon going to join them and get where they are. And that for a great rejoicing in God's castle up there in the great place above the clouds and the, as I like to say, the lofty peaks of glory. So these are good words for us. Amen? What will it be like then as we see them again, and especially on that last day? I was memorizing this, trying to lately, in Zephaniah. Listen to what God says. The King of Israel, the Lord is in your midst, and you shall fear evil no more. The Lord your God is in your midst, the warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love, exult over you with glad singing as on the day of a festival. And at that time, God says, I will bring you home. At the time I will gather you together. Yea, I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. That's what it's going to be like on that day. Joy and rejoicing and love everlasting. You get to sit with your loved ones again at table. For we're going to have the Lord's Supper here in a minute. This is pretty cool. Jesus says, I'm not going to drink again of the fruit of the vine until I drink it new with you in my kingdom. So this is a foretaste of a greater feast where we'll sit with our loved ones and the Lord at his table, the King's own table, and enjoy a feast forever with him. And in this feast today, here, we're communing not only with the Lord, but with all the saints. Somehow, mystically, spiritually, you're close to your loved ones in heaven through this meal we're having here. Isn't that cool? What a powerful thing it is. You're going to sit not only at the King's table in the kingdom to come, but you'll sit on his throne, says the Bible, Revelation 3. He who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne, says the Lord. Wow! Conquering means to keep faith to the end of your life and finish your course in the faith. You'll sit on a throne and be granted crowns, righteousness, joy everlasting, and love. And you'll be ruling a new world to come together. Isaiah 65 says, God says, behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. The former things won't be remembered or come to mind. Not that you can't remember them, but you won't ever want to. Why? For the joy that's before you. You'll be glad and rejoice and forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. Brand new sparkling bodies raised in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, made young, good looking, healthy, strong, in the best shining way. Wow, you like that one, Kevin? Isaiah 33 says, "And your eyes shall see the King in his beauty. They will behold a land that stretches afar. There the Lord in majesty will be for us a place of broad rivers and streams. For the Lord is our King, and he will save us." And all this with love and joy everlasting. So praise be to God. We got good news for the saints on this All Saints Sunday. So on this All Saints Sunday, I know we're all missing our loved ones who've departed in Jesus. But let's rejoice today. Jesus is the Savior. This is the communion of the saints. We're not so very far away from them as we suppose. No, indeed, they're actually very close. For our present slight momentary affliction in this world is just preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And very soon God says, "I'm going to speak from my throne, and the dwelling of God shall be with men." God himself will be with them. And God says, "I'm going to come and personally wipe away every tear from your eye. And I'm going to put away death forever. And there's going to be no more crying or mourning or pain anymore. For these former things, they pass away. And I'll say it from my throne, look, behold and see, I make all things new." And for that, for a joyful, happily ever after. So, Jesus, I'll conclude with this. Jesus told his disciples, and it applies to us too. Yeah, you got sorrow now because I'm going away. But you're going to see me again. And when you do, on that day, no one will ever take your joy from you ever again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called The Communion of the Saints, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the old Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.